It's time to get your news on. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.
Hey, it certainly is. It's the national news for you for week commencing December 2, 2024, in our 29th year of non-stop news. And this week, arguably, leaders in Pico balloon experimentation have ups and downs with their latest launch. Ups and downs continue. The three West Australia CubeSats, aptly named Fireball, only lasted 2 months in space. And down, down and out. Australian Federal Police, the AFP, are checking on 250 cyber criminals just arrested. Now wait, there is much more, much, much more in this edition of news. And I'm Editor Graham, VK4 Baker Baker.
Across Australia from VK1 WIA, you are tuned to the WIA National News Service. In Melbourne, it can be heard on the 160-metre amateur radio band on 1.825 MHz AM at 9 o'clock Sunday morning. I'm Clint Jeffrey, VK3CSJ.
Australiana. Early last month, our three tiny Australian satellites from Curtin University's Binar space program burnt up in Earth's atmosphere. This was always going to happen. In fact, Binar means fireball in the local Aboriginal dialect. But these CubeSats, known as Binar 2, 3 and 4, entered the atmosphere much sooner than planned. They only lasted 2 months, a third of what was expected. Recent high solar activity has been causing an unexpected headache for satellite operators in the last few years, and it's only increasing. The Australian government is continuing its efforts to improve mobile coverage on our regional roads and highways. With the $50 million Regional Roads Australia Mobile Program, the RRAMP, the RAMP, allocating funding to two more states. On November 6, the government announced $8 million to support pilot projects covering parts of the Great Alpine Road, Great Ocean Road and Monaro Highway in regional Victoria, with a focus on boosting resilience and connectivity during emergencies and natural disasters. The Victorian government will design and deliver the pilot through a competitive grants program, with applications planned to open next year. Now, just 9 days later, RAMP funding was announced for regional and remote New South Wales in the form of $9 million for the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development and a further $1 million for the New South Wales Telco Authority. The Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development is meanwhile contributing up to $38 million of its own funds to the program, this for a joint total of up to $48 million. The work being undertaken in New South Wales will test practical solutions to improve connectivity and includes projects like addressing coverage gaps on key transport corridors by investing in new infrastructure such as small cell sites, macro cell towers and cell-on-wheel solutions.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1 WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
Hello, and this week our international news is with thanks to ARRL, DX World, EHAM, Hackaday, IARU, ICQ Podcast, IRTS, Newsline, NZART, RAC, RadioWorld.com, RSGB, SARL, and the worldwide sources of the WIA. Brendan Carter replaced Jessica Rosenworcel as FCC chair. Over in the US, there will be a new leader at the helm of the FCC under the new administration. Senior Republican Brendan Carr is to become the next chairman in 2025 under the Trump administration, succeeding Jessica Rosenworcel. Carr has served at the FCC since 2012. Carr said the FCC's priority must be to restore free speech rights for everyday Americans, claiming that major social media outlets have created a cartel that he believes censors conservative viewpoints in particular. Carr is also an ally of Elon Musk, whose Starlink satellite internet service has thrice been rejected for subsidies from the FCC. Musk was recently named by Trump to co-lead the new Department of Government Efficiency with former Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. New Zealand network grows with help from hams. In New Zealand, amateur radio operators are sharing the power of radio, in this case low-power, licence-free handhelds, to bring communities and families closer together. Helping people connect over radio and stay connected is the mission behind the effort known as Rebuild Free Radio Network. It's an emerging collective in New Zealand that's relying mainly on portable license-free handheld PRS radios that are often used as tools in public safety. A number of participants also have their amateur radio licenses, including the network's national coordinator. Writing in QUA, the newsletter of the Franklin Amateur Radio Club, club member Trish Murray of Zulu Lima 1 Tango Tango Mike explained how, community by community, she's helping to strengthen the network locally. She described the hands-on interactive workshops she's been leading to get people familiar with the UHF radios they've purchased but may be hesitant to use. The workshops explained that local resiliency is the best reason for using a radio and the area repeaters, whether it's to stay in touch with other family members or communicate in a crisis. The Australian Federal Police is working to identify victims of a scam compound operating in Manila that was raided by authorities, resulting in the arrest of more than 250 suspected cyber criminals. The AFP said in a statement that two of its members, together with a Manila-based AFP liaison officer, accompanied local authorities to search the scam compound for intelligence relating to Australian scam victims. Philippine authorities arrested more than 190 foreign nationals and 68 Filipino nationals for alleged immigration offences, plus seized more than 300 computer towers, more than 1,000 mobile phones, and thousands of SIM cards, the AFP said. The scammers allegedly targeted victims using online romance, building trust before asking them to invest money in a fraudulent cryptocurrency trading platform. AFP Assistant Commissioner David McLean commended Philippines authorities for their work in identifying this boiler room and taking swift action to shut it down. McLean said that intelligence gathered by the AFP would aid similar investigations. SARL to showcase amateur radio at SFSA 2024. The SARL, in partnership with AMSAT SA, will exhibit at the annual South African Science Forum to be held at the CSIR Conference Centre in Pretoria this week, December 4 to 6. The focus of this SARL AMSAT SA exhibit will be science and technology in amateur radio. The SARL AMSAT SA participation was in fierce competition as the application for exhibition stands substantially exceeded the available space. For VK1WIA National News, in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
Rewind. I'm John, VK4JJW. Remembering John B. Goodenough, inventor of the lithium-ion battery. Dr. Goodenough received a Nobel Prize at the age of 97 for his contributions to making the lithium-ion battery a reality. In 2019, Dr. John became the oldest person awarded a Nobel Prize. He won the chemistry prize for the invention of the lithium-ion battery, stemmed from his 1980 breakthrough that allowed the then experimental and dangerous lithium battery chemistry to leave the lab as a safe and versatile new battery type. Goodenough shared the prize with M. Stanley Whittingham and Akira Roshino, who both built upon Goodenough's work in commercializing lithium-ion battery technology. The lithium-ion rechargeable battery came into common commercial use in the 1990s, just as the market for portable devices was germinating. Since that time, the lithium-ion battery and mobile device industries have grown together at an astonishing rate. The lithium-ion class of batteries has been called one of the great inventions of human history, and core tenets of this technology can be traced back to the discoveries and inventions of Dr. John B. Goodenough. With Rewind on VK1WIA National News, I'm John, VK4JJW.
We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news with VK4FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. Now, Qantas-wise, 2024, NZ Straight Key Night. New Zealand Straight Key Night, Summer Edition, will be held tonight, UTC time, Sunday 2 December, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. NZDT. On 80 metres. Polish and lubricate that Old Moore's Key and enjoy an evening of old-time radio fun. Straight Key Night is an informal event which honours the roots of amateur radio. Moore's code sent with the straight key. No bugs, side swipers, keys or keyboards. When? Summer SKN is always the first Sunday in December, 9 to 10 p.m. NZ time. SKN honours the original amateur radio mode in an easy-going style. operator send their signal report, name, location, type of key, type of transmitter, and power output. Stations are limited to 100 watts output power. SKN is not a contest, but the operator who gets the most votes for the quality of their sending will win the Bruce Cahill Best Fist Award. This certificate honours Bruce ZR1BWG Silent Key, who was a dedicated supporter of SKN. Please email your nomination to ZR1NZ within 1 week following the event. ARRL 160m CW. Next weekend, December 6 to 8, is the date. Begins 2200 hours UTC Friday, ending 1559 hours UTC Sunday. This is a 42-hour period with no time limitation. Logs must be returned within 7 days. 10-meter ARRL contest. For amateurs worldwide to exchange QSO information with as many stations as possible in the 10-meter band. Second full weekend of December starts 0000 hours UTC Saturday, runs through 2359 hours UTC Sunday, December 14-15. Again, as in most ARRL tests, logs are to be completed and returned within 7 days. Finally, YOTA contest of 2024. Youth on the Air Test 3 or 3 will be from 10 hours to 21.59 hours UTC on 29 December on the 5 Classic Bands CW and SSB. Now, the DX window to the world. Starting off with Special Band Station for 2025.
Hello, this is Rob Victor Kilo to Charlie Oscar Sierra. In 2025, the Australian Army's Royal Australian Corps of Signals will recognise the centenary year with a series of events and activities. Australia has a unique distinction of having the first regularly formed signal unit in the British Empire. In 1912, Signals troops and companies formed a portion of the Corps of Australian Engineers and served as such throughout World War I. On the 1st of January 1925, all Signals units were separated from the Australian Corps of Engineers and the Australian Corps of Signals was formed. Thus began the evolution of the Australian Corps of Signals, which reached a total strength of 24,000 during World War II. On the 10th of November 1948, His Majesty King George VI conferred the title Royal on the Australian Corps of Signals. Since then, members of the Corps have served with distinction in all warlike and peacekeeping operational areas. During the centenary year, past and current members of the Royal Australian Corps of Signals will activate the special event callsign Victor India 100 Sierra India Golf. It is proposed that this callsign will be activated during the various celebrations and activities that are occurring during the centenary year. Past and current members of the Corps are encouraged to participate by contacting either myself or Steve at Victor Kilo 4 Foxtrot India via our email addresses on qrz.com. Updates will be provided via the Victor India 100 SIG qrz.com and Facebook pages. For the WIA National News, I am Rob Victor Kilo to Charlie Oscar Sierra.
Thanks, Robert. The Radio Club des Ardennes, ON4RCA, will be on the air as Oscar Oscar 80BB. Now through to the 15th of December, commemorating the 80th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge during World War II. QSLs can only be requested via Club Logs OQRS until the 31st of January 2025. In the World DX, we're listening for the members of the Zurich City Police Radio Amateur Club, who have been operating as HB20SP. The club is marking its 20th anniversary. No Bureau QSLs, but it can use the logbook of the world, and HB20SP runs until month's end, December 31. Special call sign HB50BC is active until 31 December, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Swiss Air Amateur Radio Club, HP9VC. A growing trend these days is that QSL cards will not be provided, but QSOs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World. You can also download a certificate for working this special presentation from the link we like in the text editions of WIA National News. Listen throughout the rest of the year for the special call sign 9A100RKZ, marking the 100th anniversary of the Radio Club Zagreb, which was founded the 24th of March 1924 in Croatia. QSL via 9A1ADE. Finally, in operating news, repeaters. VK2's Oxley Region Amateur Radio Club say the VK2 RPM repeaters at Middleborough remain off-air, following damage to the host site's power distribution system. The damage was caused by lightning during severe storms mid-November, and these VK2 RPM repeaters will be left off air for a further week or so, or until site works are carried out restoring power supply to the site. For VK1 WIA National News, I'm Felix, VK4FUQ Inningham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1 WIA. Now, special interest group news with Cole, VK3 GTV.
Hello, first up in worldwide special interest group news this week, it's balloons. South Africa, Baikonur-12. What an adventure. Baikonur-12 was the prelude to 2025, the SARL centenary Baikonur event. And whilst some gremlins managed to sneak on board, it was an awesome event with three balloons being launched successfully. Unfortunately, the gremlins did prevent the delivery of certain payloads to the launch site, switched off the VHF live image SSTV transmitter during flight, stopped the Baikonur parachute from opening, and somehow forced the Whisper beacon to go silent. But the gremlins were simply overwhelmed by the successes. Lots of South African clubs and participants got involved. Lots of payloads worked flawlessly and reached 31.7 kilometres in altitude. Lots of fun was had by all. Lots of knowledge was shared and gained, and the Hamnet team tracked and recovered the balloons and payloads. Remember that there was also a prize up for grabs? The first person to correctly identify the quotation that was embedded in the UHF SSTV images and to get its author correct stood to win an R250 Takealot voucher. The prize goes to Jeets, ZS6JKN. Congratulations, Jeets. You were the first to communicate the complete answer, which was Explore, Dream, Discover. Worldwide Special Interest Groups Digital. Mandatory ransomware reporting will now be part of Legislative Toolbox. Australia's first cybersecurity legislation has been passed by Parliament after being approved by the Senate earlier in the week. Now, businesses that pay ransomware hackers will be compelled to report it to the government. There's also a limited use obligation for the National Cyber Security Coordinator and the Australian Signals Directorate to share information from a victim during an incident. Agencies had found themselves being cut out of the information loop by the private sector as they responded to an attack. The laws also create mandatory security standards for smart devices. In a statement, Minister for Cybersecurity Tony Burke said the law is a key pillar in the government's mission to protect Australians from cyber threats. Worldwide Special Interest Groups Final Frontier. An air leak on the ISS Russian module is getting worse. For the past 5 years, air has been escaping through a Russian section of the International Space Station at an increasing rate. NASA and its Russian counterpart, Roscosmos, are still in disagreement over the root cause of the leak, as well as the severity and the consequences. While the Russian team continues to search for and seal the leaks, it does not believe catastrophic disintegration of the PRK is realistic. Bob Cabana, a former NASA astronaut who now chairs the ISS Advisory Committee, said during a meeting on Wednesday, Space News reported. NASA has expressed concerns about the structural integrity of the PRK and the possibility of a catastrophic failure. The Russians believe that continued operations are safe, but they can't prove to our satisfaction that they are, and the US believes that it's not safe, but we can't prove to the Russian satisfaction that that's the case, he added. Russian teams believe the air leak was likely caused by high cyclic fatigue from micro-vibrations, while teams at NASA think pressure and mechanical stress, residual stress, material properties of the module, and environmental exposure are all at play, according to Space News. As the two space agencies continue to discuss the potential risk, the aging space station is inching closer to retirement within the next 6 years, and its hardware may finally be giving in to the wear and tear of the harsh space environment. Not only, but also, space station raises orbit, avoiding orbital debris. The Progress 89 thrusters were fired Tuesday, November 19, for 5 minutes 31 seconds to raise the orbit of the International Space Station to provide an extra margin of distance from a piece of orbital debris from a defunct defense meteorological satellite. The predetermined debris avoidance maneuver was conducted in coordination with NASA, Roscosmos, and the other space station partners. Without the maneuver, ballistics officials estimated that the fragment could have come within around 2.5 miles of the station. PARIS T1A satellite. The Satellite Frequency Coordination Committee of the International Amateur Radio Union has updated information regarding the approved frequency requests from the National Formosa University for satellite PARIS T1A. The satellite is tentatively scheduled for launch in January. PARIS T1A, a three-unit CubeSat, will provide essential services to the global amateur radio community with its primary mission, an FM voice crossband repeater, to facilitate real-time voice communication between amateur radio operators on 145.980 MHz uplink, tone 67 Hz, and 435.250 MHz downlink. The satellite will also carry an APRS digipeater to enable the transmission of real-time position and status information from APRS-equipped devices on 145.825 MHz. A telemetry beacon downlink on 437.850 MHz has also been coordinated, with unencrypted telemetry packets accessible to the public through online dashboards like SatNogs, promoting transparency and community collaboration. The satellite launch is anticipated from Florida in January 2025. Worldwide Special Interest Groups Maritime. Iowa's NEPM Military Amateur Crossband Activation for Pearl Harbor Remembrance. The Battleship Iowa Amateur Radio Association, BIARA, and the Iowa's Innovation, Engineering and Technology Team, IET, will activate the ship's original NEPM Navy call sign on December 7th and 8th. Hours of operation both days are expected to be from 1500 UTC to 0100 UTC. This activation will be in memory of the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, and all the radio amateurs and aficionados who answered the call, taking their skills into the military and civilian war efforts. The ARRL and their legal team worked with the Federal Communications Commission to obtain a waiver to allow licensed amateur radio operators to work NEPM for this limited event. Amateurs are reminded that they may not transmit on the military frequencies issued to NEPM. Amateur radio operators must operate within the privileges of their licenses. Licensees of other countries not under the U.S.'s FCC jurisdiction are advised to refer to the regulations imposed by their licensing agencies before calling NEPM. Note that all phone operations are on upper sideband, as the military does not authorize us to use lower sideband, and the listen and transmit frequencies are listed in our text edition of this news. Please note that listed listening frequencies are a starting point. The operator will tell you where they're listening to minimize you causing interference to stations in band that are not aware that you are communicating with NEPM outside the amateur bands. For an NEPM QSL, please follow the instructions found on biara.org. That's biara.org. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Radio Amateur Old Timers.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's December Bulletin to go to air. This month, as well as the latest club news, I'll be talking about naval air wireless telegraphy at the start of World War II. This will be followed by Ron, VK3AFW, discussing power-saving devices and other scams that cold callers will use against you. Everyone is most welcome to listen to the program and to join in the callbacks afterwards. Full details of all transmissions, times, frequencies and modes can be found on the RAOTC website at www.raotc.org.au, or just Google RAOTC Broadcasts. If none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website. Members and friends of the RAOTC in Perth are reminded that the next lunchtime meeting at the Woodbridge Hotel East Guildford is on Tuesday, December the 10th. All are welcome. Full details on the website. Once again, tune in tomorrow for the December RAOTC broadcast. Enjoy the program, and please join in the callbacks afterwards. There is no bulletin in January. We'll be back next year on Monday, February the 3rd. Merry Christmas, everyone, and best wishes for the new year. 7-3 from Clive, VK6CSW.
Thanks, Clive, and from the old-timers, it's over to Worldwide Special Interest Groups Radio Amateur Young Timers, YOTA, Youngsters on the Air. and getting ready to work young ops during Yota Month, here's Alec, VK2MV.
Get ready to work, we younger generation of radio operators, all this month of December. It's Yota Month worldwide. Stations with radio operators under the age of 26 will be on the air from countries around the world. France, the UK, the Republic of Korea, Hungary, Argentina, Egypt, the United States, as well as right here in Australia. This is our month in the spotlight, and lots of the most active countries will have their call signs containing the suffix Yota for youngsters on the air. One example is in the USA, where call signs are K8Y, K8O, K8T, and WHA, with the single letter suffixes spelling Yota. As in previous editions of this month's long event, organizers stress that contact should be made with the understanding that these QSOs may be some youngsters' first experience in and on the air. So please be patient and remember care and understanding is key parts of the exchange. Awards will be available for shortwave listeners as well as we licensed amateur radio operators. The real award, however, is knowing that you may have inspired someone else to pursue amateur radio over the course of their lifetime. For VK1 WIA National News, I'm Alec, VK2 MV in Sydney.
Thanks, Alec. Next up, it's Worldwide Special Interest Groups Radio Scouting. The 2nd Cotton Scouts, along with their friends and fellow scouts of 1st Leamington and 3rd Essex, came together recently to speak with Still in Space American astronaut Sunita Williams aboard the International Space Station. This exciting experience happened as a result of a chance meeting between the scouts and a local veteran last year. It was November 2023 and the 2nd Cotton Scouts were busy with one of their veteran gravestone cleaning events in Kingsville, Canada. Scouter Dan Ireland of Cotton put out a request to the Royal Canadian Legion for Veterans to come out and meet the youth. One of those veterans was Bruce Peacock, a former member of the Scouts himself, who had a long career as an aviator and an aerospace technician who worked on the Canadarm, and also a very experienced ham radio operator. It was during the event at Greenhill Cemetery that Bruce suggested the idea of the Scouts making contact with the ISS via ham radio. The Scouts were able to speak with astronaut Sunita Williams and ask her a number of questions about life on the International Space Station and about space in general. The Scouts had an amazing afternoon of learning, which also included a prepared video tour of the ISS led by astronaut Sunita Williams. This once-in-a-lifetime opportunity is sure to be an enduring memory for all who participated. Worldwide Special Interest Groups Rescue Radio, a testbed for saving lives, none other than Oscar 7. As we observe AMSAT Oscar 7's 50th anniversary as the oldest operating satellite, we should recall what may be its most noteworthy accomplishment. Oscar 7 was used to investigate the possibility of locating downed aircraft and disabled sea vessels by using Doppler analysis of signals from emergency location transmitters, the LTs. As envisioned by spacecraft engineers from the United States and Russia, the concept was to relay signals from beacon devices, ELTs or emergency location transmitters, already installed on large and small aircraft and on ships and smaller vessels equipped with EPIRBs or emergency position indicating radio beacon stations. The signals could also be Doppler tracked one way by processing the beacon uplink signal onboard the spacecraft. This allowed the spacecraft to find the source beacon's location immediately. It's hard to remember, but this was in an era before the creation of GPS. The tests were highly successful. The program went ahead and has been operational since 1982. From that time until 2021, the program had saved the lives of over 57,000 persons in over 17,000 separate rescue events. For VK1WIA National News, I'm Cole, VK3GTV.
2024, it's a date. In VK4, Brisbane VHF Group's Showcase Day, December 8 at Redcliffe and District Radio Club. And in 2025, Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association's 50th anniversary. This will be held July 26 at Glen Waverley. And in VK4, the Gold Coast Amateur Radio Society, the 2025 Hamfest, November 9, 2025. Once again, Country Paradise Parklands, 231 Beaudesert Narang Road. Now, until next week, when we should be joined by a WIA director again. Unfortunately, VK4EA was unavailable this week. Next week, hopefully, VK2TSG Stephen, who we haven't heard from quite a while due to an illness. So join us next week when we'll have lots more news from the WIA. And until then, Walk softly.
From Australia, this has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.